Hey everybody, this is Wade with WadeForWireless.com. So today I want to go over the carrier's wireless deployment steps overview. And what I was thinking is not everybody gets to see all the steps from a high level. I thought I'd just give you a high level view. And this is taken from the book I'm coming out with. Now in the book, I have a lot more detail. I have a lot more steps in there. Just something to help you out, you know, getting a high level view, getting a big picture. We all want to see the big picture, right? Well, here it is. You guys probably know all this, but maybe I'm just reminding you. But first, I want to thank Tower Safety, because Tower Safety is all your climber safety training needs, right? You want OSHA training, you want tower rescue training, tower certification training. Soon, they'll have NWSA training, because that's going to be the requirement. We saw AT&T on the TIRAP board and the NWSA board. So soon, you'll have to get your certification through NWSA probably to do any tower work at least. For a lot of these companies, because they're going to have all the different levels of certification, which Nate helped provide. Now all the training companies probably have to gear their training for that, because you can't just walk out and say, I have a Comtrain certification. Now you have to go to an official training center. Now you're still going to need your hands-on training, I would imagine. I would imagine that's part of TIRAP. But you're also going to have your certification training at a certification center. Where those certification centers are, they're all over. They're standard certification centers. And I'll tell you where I ran into them, and I know I'm getting off track here, but with these certifications, like if you ever did oil and gas work, they have standard certification centers all over Louisiana and Texas. You go in, and that's part of what you do. You have to get certified to work on a lot of these, not necessarily rigs, but the oil centers, places where they actually do the different oil work, places like that. You know, I don't know. I worked at a lot of those places. But they have the other thing you could do, they have standard test centers for like Cisco certification. It would be something like that where you go in and it's just a test center. They say, what are you here for? And usually you have the name, the number, and they punch it up and it's very generic. So you can't, not like you can cheat, because the guy beside you, you may be taking your Cisco certification, but the guy beside you may be taking, who knows what, you know, an oil rig certification for safety or safety and hazard or OSHA certification, something like that. Well, now you can take your tower certification there right along with all the other people. So when you go there, it's not like you're going to be surrounded by tower climbers unless you go with your entire crew on one day, which a lot of companies will probably do, just take a day for the certification. So if you run crews or you own crews, there you go. You're going to have to pay for one more day of work for all these guys to get trained. Because I imagine, you know, you got to drive to where the training is. They're all over. Don't get me wrong, but it's probably still a day. I got off track there. Sorry. Apologies. Let's talk about the carrier's deployment overview, wireless deployment steps overview. And I just want to really get a high level. Now, things are different today. Oh, there's one more thing I want to mention. Just so you guys know, I already mentioned tower safety, but I also have some products out there. I got a logbook for all you climbers to log your high time, your drive time, and what you do. If you don't think it's important, well, then you know what? Worry about it if you don't get paid, or worry about it if someone gets hurt. That's when those logbooks really matter, a personal logbook. Because I know you, a lot of guys argue that they put their time in with their boss, and that's good enough. You know, just keep track of your own time. I want to support the Hubble Foundation. I want to make sure that everyone, if you can, got something to give, you could give to the HubbleFoundation.org or HubbleFoundation.com. Not sure. Just Google Hubble, H-U-B-B-L-E, Foundation. You'll find it. The other thing I have a SAL tutorial for your scope of work. I also have a logbook, like I said, the site aid handbook, and I got a book for tower climbers. If you're just starting out, it gives you an idea of what you're going to have to do. All right, let's get busy here with the deployment overview. So in the old days, and when I'm talking old days, I'm talking 90s, late 80s, 90s, maybe even early 2000s, the cell site techs had a lot of say in the deployments, especially from the field perspective, right? They might even had a lot to say with RF design. They might have worked together, site selection and all that. But deployments were slower. You had a little more control. And a lot of times a cell site tech would help complete the installation. I remember those days. They're probably long forgotten, especially by anyone who works for a carrier now. But I remember those days very well, because that was a big deal and it was a lot of work just because they had so much site work to do. Today it's very different. Today you have a project manager that oversees it. Now, some project managers know very little about wireless. They really know how to manage projects, but that's how they look at it now. It's really just another project to a lot of these companies. Some project managers are very knowledgeable in the process, which really matters, the wireless process. Because from a high level, just looking at this, you have RF design, which is going to design everything, and then they hand off to the site acquisition team, which has to find sites and heights. sites that are realistic to get onto. Then the RF design has to take those sites and fine-tune the RF design. And then site acquisition has to work on the leases, the permitting, the zoning. And I say it all the time. And RF design basically works with an RF program to design a lot of this. It takes a skill to do that, don't get me wrong. They also have to determine, say, the down tilt of the antenna, the power, the transmitter, and so on. Details like that. Site acquisition has to deal with zoning and permitting, which, trust me, is a nightmare. The leases, they can get on some, they can't get on some. Can they get backhaul there? Can they get power there? All that matters. It all takes a lot of time for these guys to do this. Site acquisition used to be something where they could go out and find a site. If it had power, it had power, and then you could run a T1 to it or something. Well, today you got to run, is there fiber nearby? Are they going to have to do a wireless link? Is there a wireless path? Is there access to fiber? Are they going to have to run copper, like a DSL line? Can they run a cable? You know, there's so many issues to do with backhaul. And then you got permitting and zoning. Is the township going to allow this? Are they going to allow that? You probably have to run new power. Is there going to be access to power? How far is it going to be? Do we have to put a new pole in? A lot of things. Site acquisition has their hands full. And that's where you go into then. You go into site design. With site design, and this might be part of site acquisition, right? Where you're going to have someone go out and actually design the site, how things are going to go, and they actually make drawings of the site, of the tower, if it's a tower, if it's a pole, are there openings, where are we going to mount, how are we going to mount? Site design's a big deal. That's where they actually engineer the site. Now, I call it site design. Probably should be site engineering. That has a great bit of detail, but they work with the site acquisition team because the landlord's going to want drawings. Probably don't do any of that themselves. They just use what's given to them. And you give them where you think you're going to go. You might work off a drawing that they have so you know exactly where they want you. Sometimes the landlord will do that. So that goes back and forth a little bit. Now, in the background, what a lot of you guys don't see is a network design. These guys are the ones that actually design, say, the IP address of the router, the address of all the stuff, the BTS, everything at the site. They have to come up with a design for all the information in the background, as well as build neighbor lists and build the neighbor list for the site so they know how to hand off. They're the ones that actually figure out how the site should be commissioned or what information should be put in the transmitter, let's say. When everything comes up and the integration's done, it's all there. All this has to be done in the background, and they have to prepare the core to accept the site, and they have to prepare the other sites and update all the neighbor lists and everything. It's quite a bit of work in the network design. That could be called low-level design, background design, whatever. You know, core, it's part of the core, it's part of the RAN. And the other thing you have that people forget about but they live with every day is logistics. The warehousing, the stocking, the kitting, building the kits for each site. This is key because a lot of times if you have a poor logistics department, that's a showstopper. If the hardware isn't there, the parts aren't there, all the parts aren't there for the site, it's a showstopper. If you have a really horrible logistics company and things don't get out there, you got problems. So if you have a great logistics company and all the parts are ready in there, that's great. A lot of things play into logistics. Like when they build the kits, they're going to go probably off a site design. All they look at in logistics normally is a bill of materials. If the bill of materials has all these parts on it, great. Now, with that said, if you see something on the bill of materials that is not in the kit, and it happens all the time, it's a problem. You know, and usually the problem with a lot of the installation crews, I'm not busting on them, just saying, they get to the site and they're going through the bill of materials and it's not there because they probably load up a pallet. So the first thing they have to do is call the project manager, which the project manager has to control the entire process. There's usually a PM. It depends how they do it, but usually there's a PM for each specific task. But you really have a PM that has to control the whole thing. And a PM is going to look at logistics. And chances are the PM is going to be the single point of contact for a lot of these particular tasks, let's say. So the PM is going to have to deal with missing parts, missing hardware, make sure they get ordered. Where did it go? Did it go to another site? Blah, blah, blah. Anyways, PM has to deal with all that crap. So then you have logistics who's going to kit it and have it set up in a warehouse. Then you have installation, where installation is going to go pick it up and they're going to install the equipment, the hardware, whatever it is, whether it's a small cell, whether it's a DAS system, ODAS, IDAS, you know, a CRAN, whether it's a macro site, you're going to have installation go out and pick all this up. If it's a tower site, you could have two kits, right? You could have the one for on the tower, then you have the equipment that goes in the shelter or the cabinets that go outside, depending upon what they do. But basically, you have the ground equipment and tower equipment. a tower crew could do all that. Will they do all that? Depends. I don't know. Depends how the carrier wants it set up. Some do, some don't. Most of them split it up. Most of them have like a ground crew that sets up the cabinet, say pours a pad, whatever. And the other ones have the tower crew. If it's a new tower, that's, you know, a whole civil thing. I didn't really go into that. I'm just looking at just deploying here. So then you have the installation crew puts it in, gets everything ready. Then you have commissioning. Commissioning is where an engineer comes out. Now the commissioning engineer has to be a jack of all trades. Chances are he's got to power it up. He's got to make sure the batteries work if there are batteries. He's got to make sure the backhaul is connected, test the backhaul. He'll probably have to do updates on whatever's there. Not always. Like small cells are pretty well, you know, you plug and play. I hate to say it like that easy, but, you know, there's not a lot for the commissioning engineer to do in a small cell unless there's battery backup. But someone has to make sure that backhaul works. If you can't connect to the core, nothing's going to work. So the backhaul is critical. Backhaul has to work. Whether you're going through a router, you're direct connecting in. If it's a macro site, the backhaul is a huge deal, obviously, because it's probably a huge backhaul. Someone's got to do that and commission it. So once you have the backhaul connected, if it's a DAS system, you have to make sure the front haul works. That's probably going to be the commissioning engineer's job as well. So normally, the installation crew goes and installs everything. Then they may leave a guy behind to help support the commissioning engineer in case there's any problems. Then the commissioning engineer, when he has the backhaul set up and power, then integration starts. He connects it, calls the integration team, whether it's a knock or, you know, whatever. The integration team, they connect it to the core. Chances are they'll do more updates and they'll upload the configuration for that specific site. Commissioning engineer probably has a generic upgrade, gets it to a specific firmware level, release level, whatever. And then the integration team does the rest from there, either remotely, automatically. They probably have scripts that do it. Then the integration team and the commissioning team will do some testing. Or if it's a small cell, chances are it'll be the installation guy. Today's world, LTE, upload test, download test. That's going to be key. They're going to do that. They're going to record the results. If there's voice on it, they have to test voice. And the other thing they have to do if there's voice on it, at least here in the States, is test 911, test emergency calls. E911 is critical, and they have to test it end-to-end. So you have to have someone out the site that makes a 911 call and tests it all the way to the 911 dispatch center, if I remember right. It has to be a complete end-to-end test. It has to work, and it needs to be done. It's a requirement if there is voice. Voice is a big deal. You have to make sure that someone can make an emergency call. Then what you have, after the integration's done, the commissioning engineer's done, everything's up and ready to go, they may bring it live, they may put it in test mode, but you have optimization. Optimization usually consists of the RF team and the drive team. Here's where you're going to have the RF team and the drive team go around, and they're going to make sure it hands off properly to other sites. The neighbor list is correct. They're going to test it. They might have to verify down tilt. They might have to verify power settings and things like that. Here's where you're going to see how well it works in the cluster. Now, eventually, you'll have the drive test, the optimization team, do drive testing and test the entire cluster. But here's where it matters. They have to know where the coverage exists. They have to make sure that voice works everywhere. They have to make sure that texting works everywhere. They have to make sure that the download and upload speeds are documented for how far they are from the site and that it can hand off to other sites. It's critical. This is a key part of the final step in actually getting the site live and making sure that the customers will be happy when it's live. If you don't have handoff and the call drops, it's a problem. Looks bad in your KPIs. KPIs, key performance indicators. You want to make sure that all the neighbor lists are set up properly. If it hands off to the wrong site, that's going to be a problem. If it doesn't hand off at all, problem, so on. You get the picture, right? You want to be sure it can text, upload, download, and hand off properly. And you want to make sure that everything's there to make the customer happy. And the better this works, the better it looks for, say, root metrics, somebody like that. Then you wrap it up. Site's accepted, cluster's accepted, everyone's happy. We all live in a happy world. We all look at Facebook and get on our smartphones and make sure everything works. Thought you'd like that. High-level overview. Be smart, be safe, pay attention. And just remember, I know when you do these deployments, you look at your job as the only job, but we all have to work together. You can't leave things in a bad state. You got to make sure that everything is as best as you can possibly do it with what you got. All right? Be smart, be safe, pay attention. See ya.